Good morning, folks. It's great to be here this morning and to be able to share. That was a fantastic time of worship this morning, wasn't it? Just coming into God's presence, that He is the Almighty God. He's the one that changes, that He is the one that makes the difference. My theme today is why we should pray. Why do we pray? Is it because when you were little, your mum told you you should pray? Or the opposite, mum taught you to pray? Or perhaps it was somebody else. Your dad or your sister, your brother, your auntie, your uncle. Perhaps it was the Sunday school teacher. Perhaps it was the vicar or the pastor. Perhaps it was when you were at Cubs. When you were at Scouts. Brownies, Girl Guides. Girls or Boys Brigade. The list goes on. All of those sort of people can have influence over us. And it's amazing the difference they make. I remember going down to Wendy's uncle. And one of the habits they had was at the end of the day, they used to gather their family together and they used to have a prayer before they went to bed. How do you just think, wow, that was great. Did that affect me? Yes. Did I change what I did in my own house? Yes. One of the Bible readings that we were reading this week had the story, I can't remember if it was this week or last week, and it had the story of a mum had heard this song, and the song was about praying for your family. So she thought, oh, I'd better do that. I start doing that. So she started praying for her little boy every morning as he went out to the bus. And one morning, he came back with all his mates. And she's going, what are you doing? You need to catch the bus. And he said, all these boys, nobody's prayed for them at home. So, and brought them here so that you can pray for them. An amazing difference, isn't it? What have we been taught? Sometimes we have this attitude, don't we? Well, what harm can it do? You actually hear people saying that, don't you? That's some people's view on prayer. Or it seems like a good idea. We can be in situations that seem to be a bit troublesome. Or we get to a situation, well, everything else has failed, I perhaps better pray about it. And you hear about people doing that outside. I had an interesting conversation with the lads one Sunday morning when we arrived to clear up, and they'd done an all-nighter. And we were talking about it and chatting with them, and we're just talking about why we were doing what we were doing. And we talked about praying. We actually ended up praying for them. But then it was quite funny, because the guy then starts berating his mates, and he's going, well, I bet you've prayed sometime. And they're going, pfft. And he's going, I bet you have. And I'm just standing there. And he's berating his own mates. I'm thinking, okay, I'll leave you to it. But that's the truth, isn't it? At some point, they might have been challenged. And there's that sort of feeling, well, why not? You might have been taught to say your prayers before you go to bed. So you're lying, sitting by your bed, and the dog has obviously been taught as well. And you might have been taught to do that without the dog or with the dog. I'm not sure whether the dog is praying, to be honest. But it's a habit. It's a good habit. Or you might imagine a dog praying. I don't know whether they pray or not, but I could imagine this dog praying and going, and if you can't read it, it says, please, please, don't make me wear that sweater again. Well, you can imagine any dog praying that, couldn't you? We have a picture in our heads sometimes about prayer. And the traditional picture is people actually putting their hands together. If my understanding is, it's a bit of a Victorian thing that you actually put your hands together so you stop messing about with doing other things. Some people find that a good way. Some people don't. It's a good or a bad picture, but it is a traditional picture. But the words on that slide, oh yeah, it's quite big there, actually might be things that we actually centre our minds and think about when we're praying. That we might be praying because we're grateful. We're thankful. We were going over to our event last night, a murder mystery that Bill sorted out for us. And I was thankful. Because at one point I didn't think we'd sold many tickets. But actually last night we're going, have we ordered enough baked potatoes? Because that many people eventually came. Now that's outstanding. And it was nothing I'd done. God did it. And I'm praying as we're going over and just going, thank you God. Thank you God. There's challenges, isn't there, that we're going through. There's things that we want to fulfill. There's things that we want nourishment for. With things that we need protection over. There's things that we need strengthening in. Those are sort of words that we might bring in into our prayer time, prayer life. So why should we pray? Well, the Bible tells us to, doesn't it? We've been singing this morning, how great is our God? How great is our God? That causes us to pray, doesn't it? It causes us to do something. But there's more than that. We need to remember and we need to learn as we're doing that. In Thessalonians, it says, rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. You feel there should be a few footnotes here. You've got to be kidding me. But it doesn't say that. For this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always. You sort of have this picture, I have this picture sometimes, if you just take that as it is, you think we should all be walking around with an inane smile that, yeah, having a great time. I love this rubbish that I'm going through. I don't think that's what it's talking about. But the truth of it is, and I think that's what should be in our hearts to rejoice, is that God did something amazing through his son Jesus. That his own son, he was prepared to give up. To allow him to go through that grotesque experience and actually give up his life to set us free. So that we will be in a different place. That inner knowledge that sometimes we just need to remind ourselves of, that we can actually be thankful, we can rejoice. Because that has made the difference. It's made that connection back with God. And we know that here, but quite often we need to remember and have it remind us in our hearts. This is a thing that we need to come back to. And it's all done by God's grace. You didn't pay anything. You didn't do anything. There's no payment. But it is our job to recognize what God's done and to give him thanks and be thankful for the difference that Jesus has made and continues to make. There isn't a one-off situation that he made all those years ago. He continues to do that for us through our lives. So then Paul encourages us to say, pray continually. Pray as a matter of course. And this is Paul reminding us. Why? Because we need reminding. Do I need reminding? Absolutely. I'm guessing you might be the same. It becomes more obvious that we should be doing that the more that we get to understand the difference that Jesus has made to change our lives. And sometimes we get used to where we are and what's happening to us that we forget what actually happened to us a long time ago and what a rubbish place we were in. And when we recognize God that has given his son and changed our lives forevermore, then we can begin to get to a place of knowing that Jesus has made the difference. More than that, in John 14, 20, it says, to the point that Jesus resides in us. So not only has God given up his son to wipe the slate clean, to bring us to a new place, to actually have that confidence to be able to rejoice in all situations, even the crappy ones, with the knowledge that Jesus lives in us. Jesus lives in us. Give thanks as we recognize the amazing gift that Jesus has done, that God has done through his son Jesus. If we look at this whole passage, and I'm not going to spend a long time on this passage because you could have endless sermons, and I think we actually one summer did have endless sermons and talked about it. But let me just read verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. But let's go back to the rest. So we think about, that's advice that Paul is bringing us to, but what's he saying beforehand? And he says beforehand, put on the armour of God. Let's just read that. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the armour of God. Why? So that you can stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. So when the day of that evil comes, you may be able to stand. Do you need reminding of that? I certainly do. I need reminding. This is what I should be doing. You may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. That's stuff. But it's a more sort of eloquent way of saying it. Do you have stuff? I certainly have stuff. And sometimes it knocks me over. Haven't had my shield up. Take the helmet of salvation. Got to protect our head. Even when we go on our bikes now, isn't it? Took a while to convince my youngest daughter that she should be wearing a helmet. Even her husband said to me, tell her she should be wearing a helmet. Why? Because there's important stuff in there and you need to have a helmet on. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Then, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So let's look at that verse. Pray in the Spirit. This becomes logical when we think about it. Look at that. I'll look at that reading, John 14, 16 to 18. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. Who's the advocate? Holy Spirit. To help you and to be with you for a couple of weeks. Now, he doesn't say that, does it? That's the way we live our lives. You might have bigger, might be 6 months or 10 years. But forever. Now, I haven't got to grips with that because it seemed a long time and I haven't quite got my head round forever. But it's actually a really, 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 yeah, long time. The Spirit of Truth, Holy Spirit, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Getting crowded now, isn't it? Because we've got Jesus and Holy Spirit living in us because we are the temple. On all occasions. What does that mean? Paul's encouraging us as that our natural part of our day that we pray about situations. It's natural because God resides with us. He's got Jesus, a part of Jesus in us, to actually say this is the natural thing we should be doing. Not the last thing. Not the thing that we think about when stuff's happened quite a bit, but actually the first thing. Now, I'm guessing you've all got that cracked. I'm still learning. You might be a bit like me and still learning to get that. That the first thing on my mind is to pray about it. And pray about lots of things on all occasions. And what we're praying about? Well, all kinds of prayers and requests. Pray about everything. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. That's you and me. We're the Lord's people. And I thought, right, okay, we're going to do that now. So what I'm going to do is, or what we are going to do, actually, is we're going to do a prayer tunnel. Okay? Now, some of us are not so good at the old pins and walking, so you might need to actually have an arm to help people. This is family, isn't it? So we're going to have a prayer tunnel, and those people with the bad backs, you don't have to lean over, you can stand up. Why? Because God understands. And what we're going to do is, I don't want you to actually pray every person that comes in the sense of a 10-minute prophecy over them. What I want you to do is just pray God's presence on those people as those go by. Okay? Does that take 20 minutes? No. So this is not going to be a 3-hour prayer tunnel. This is going to be a 10-minute prayer tunnel at most. But we're going to pray as people come past. It's the most natural thing for us to do. And we're doing it. Why? Because we're praying for the Lord's people, which is us lot. Okay? So can I get you to come and stand here, two sides, and we're going to have a go at doing that. Bob and Nettie, can you come down this end? Okay. And then you guys here. Okay? When we've all gone through.
you go through and start at the other end, and then when everybody's gone through, well, okay.
Just allow God to touch you in those circumstances, okay? You might actually have something that you've come through that and you think, I need to go and just share a word that will bless and encourage somebody. Or God might be talking to you. Whatever it is, just take hold of that, because God's doing stuff with you. How do I know that? Because he does it all the time. He never stops. How good are we at hearing and sensing it? That's a bit debatable. But actually, he never stops. Which reminds us of that poem, doesn't it? Footprints in the sand. The footprints in the sand are there because the person couldn't work out what had happened to Jesus. And Jesus was carrying the person. Does he ever carry you? Absolutely. Romans 12:12 says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. They can seem at odds, but they're not. Be joyful in prayer. It's the same as we were talking about, rejoice always. It's that sense of understanding that Holy Father, Father God, gave up his Son so that he could reside in us. That gives us hope. There's a hope that will change the situations that we're in. And as the God stories this morning, sometimes they happen straight away, sometimes they take time. Is God interested? Absolutely. All the time. In every situation. That brings us joy. I want to read you just a little section from Nehemiah chapter 8. Just the background to that story is that Nehemiah's come to rebuild the walls. And he's got Ezra and the Levites, and they're actually sharing the word of God. And they haven't heard that or got to grips with it for a long time. So they're reading the word of God. What happens to them? It hits them. So they're sobbing and weeping because they suddenly realize, actually, we've been led astray. So they are in a bad place in the sense of being quite emotional of where they're at. So after they've heard this teaching, Nehemiah says to them, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks. And send some food to those who have nothing prepared. This day is a holy day to the Lord. Do not grieve. Which they were, understandably. And he then says to them, for the joy, that inner understanding, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So it doesn't mean we have to have an inane, stupid smile when we're going through something horrible. But it is that understanding that we've got Jesus residing in us and Holy Spirit who is championing for us, for each one of us. Patient in affliction. It's hard, isn't it? When stuff's happening at us, it's hard. I don't know about you, but I pray for now. It's sorted now, Father. Because obviously I'm a patient and really... God has somehow a little bit of a different perception on my whole experience to what I have. Hence the phrase, thank you, God. Because he can see and think way beyond where we're at. Our answers for situations aren't the answers half the time, are they? And we think they're really good answers. It's a sense of understanding that the footprints in the sand. Whatever we're going through, Jesus is walking with us and is a part of us and going where we're going. Whatever, whenever, and forever. Do we always remember that? No. But that's the truth we need to have inside us, and we need to have this cycle in our mind that we bring ourselves back to that. Because that's the truth. And how are we going to do that? We're going to need to be faithful in prayer. The more we become faithful in prayer, because we understand that Jesus is going to be with us all the time, it's easier then to be faithful in prayer. Question came when I was looking at that bit. How faithful are we about praying for ourselves? We're quite good at, oh, I'll pray for the wife, I'll pray for the family. How good are we at being faithful in praying for ourselves? How faithful are we at praying for ourselves? Why is that important? Because if we are going to be God's instruments, if we are going to be those ones that have that presence on us, we need to look after ourselves. And how do we look after ourselves? Well, if some of us, we go down the gym, or we take the right tablets, or we eat this and we don't eat that, and but how do we the inside? We need to pray for ourselves. We're not very good at that. We're not very good at that. Well, I'm not very good at that. The truth is, Jesus lives in us. Holy Spirit's in us to challenge us, to build us up. We need to look after ourselves to allow them to flourish in us. Because we want to be all that he wants us to be. To be that light in those situations we walk into. We want to be that situation where we change things. Because that is exactly what God has expected for us. So we need to pray for ourselves. We are the temple of God. It says in 2 Corinthians 6:16, we are the temple of the living God. We are the temple. You are the temple. I am the temple of the living God. We need to pray for ourselves. What are those sort of things we should be praying? Well, it might be that we should put on the armor. It might be that we should pray for a bit of strength. Or it might be we're going into a situation we're actually not very confident about. Does that happen to you? So, well, it happens to me. So I might need to be praying for courage. I might need to pray for healing. Pray for my own healing? Other people are supposed to do that, aren't they? Well, that's great when they do. But who's the closest person that Jesus has got next to us is us. He's in here. He's residing in us. Who taught me to do that? My lovely wife. She said, oh, I'm really having this pain, so I'll put this hand on. And I've been praying that God would heal me. Why not? Jesus died that we might be set free. He cares more about us than we do. And I have to say, as human beings, we're not overly good at looking after ourselves. We need to pray for ourselves. I'm learning. My foot's giving me a bit of aggro, so I'm learning to put my hand on my foot and pray for it. I'm learning when we're going into a situation that's unknown, praying about it. Do I do it all the time? No. When you're worshipping, we talk about the idea of God's presence being in us, and we are a part of that. Is it worth putting our hand on our heart? He wants to protect us. He wants to heal us. He wants to minister to us. We're quite good at looking at somebody else, that, oh, I need to go and pray with them. Which is great. I do not want you to stop doing that, because God uses us to do that. And we can bring words, healing, situations that will change people's lives. Does it have to be something big? No. I remember a story of a guy, I was actually walking down to a bus, and the guy drove past, and I actually recognised his car, so I'm going, yeah, yeah, I do. Or probably a bit more subtle, because obviously I'm English. Hi, you know. Never thought anything more about it. The guy says to me a couple of weeks later, I was really struggling that morning. Do you know what made the difference? I saw you being an idiot and waving at me on the sidewalk. It can be that smile. It can be that wave. God can change situations. He can speak to us. We need to pray for ourselves. God wants us to pray for ourselves. We're particularly bad because we're English. You're okay. Perhaps not. Why? Because we're not very sort of, well, you know, I'm okay. I've had a few occasions where I've gone to pray for Christians and I'll say, can I just pray for you that? Who says no? The Christians. Why? Because I'm not worth it. I mean, it's not really bad. You know, I mean, my leg's only dropped off. I mean, it doesn't matter too much. I'm okay, really. It's right, isn't it? It's right. But God actually says, He's worth, you are worthwhile. I am worthwhile. He wants us to look after ourselves. So, we're just going to spend a few moments praying for ourselves. Don't get embarrassed. Nobody's going to look. So that might be putting your hand on your heart and praying. It might be praying for a situation that you're in. It might be that you need to pray for healing. It might be that you're wanting God to encourage you or bless you. Or might be there's something on your mind that we just need to hand over to God. So it's not going to be long, just a couple of minutes. I just want you to be quiet. And already, as Bob's already prepared us for this, just be quiet and just allow yourselves to pray in whatever way. I couldn't do a talk about praying without putting this reading in, could I? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need.
and thank him for what he has done. Then you and me will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Don't worry about anything. We do worry about stuff. But Paul is saying we need to learn. We need to remember we have Jesus in us. My dad was an unbelievable anxious man, particularly in his later life, which was a bit odd from his life before, but I think it's just as things changed. He used to be so anxious that if they were like occasionally they, when they were going on holiday, they were going to go to the train, he would calculate how long they would need to set off. So many a time they've arrived at the station an hour before the train is going to arrive because he's calculated, you know, what happens if the taxi doesn't come and it has a puncture and etc., etc. He then forgets how early he's arrived there, so he can't work out why they're getting on the train that's the 1 hour before the one they're going to catch, which drives my mum absolutely balmy. Does that affect me in any way? Well, one have to say that I can get anxious about stuff. What am I learning? Instead, pray about everything. Instead, pray about everything. I need to tell God what I need, what I'm asking for, what the situation I'm in. Thank him for the things that he has done. Sometimes we're not very good at the thanking bit, are we? Thanking him for the difference he has made. Because he is making a difference all the time. Do we recognize it? We've got to learn to recognize it. The more we recognize it, it's the easier it gets to thank him. Why is this important? Because Paul says, if you learn this process, you will experience peace, which is mind-blowing. That's the paraphrase. I'm just using this version here. But it is, it's mind-blowing. You're going to experience peace beyond imagination. I can think of situations where I basically got to the point I don't know what to do. I can't solve this. I can't do anything to make this happen. Does God step up to the mark? Absolutely. Does he do it in the way that I had planned? Not always. In fact, not very often. Why? Because he's got a better plan. But we're British and we know how to do it all the time, don't we? We're right, man. How long did it take me being married to work out that I wasn't always right? I know it's amazing. I know you're going, well, Dave, yeah, it took me a few years to work that out. That was a few arguments in our little marriage. Particularly if you actually believed it, which I suspect I did. That might ring bells for you. Do we ever have those thoughts now? We can laugh about it now. Even when we still do it to each other now, we can laugh about it. Not straight away, of course. Otherwise there's a... You know, talk about that. He wants to guard our hearts and minds and give us peace beyond imagination. When we walk out in peace, don't we change things? A long, long time ago, and this has just popped into my mind, a long, long time ago, I was in a school that was been losing staff for, I think it was 3 years trot. Numbers were going down to school. Simple maths. Was in the maths department. I should work that out, really, shouldn't I? Okay. And maths departments was one of the biggest departments, and the English department. So on this third or fourth year round, who was going to lose? It was going to be the maths or the English department, or both of them, I think, as I remember it. Nothing I could do. Nothing I could do. But God did his stuff. God did his stuff. I was made redundant, which gave me an opportunity to apply for another couple of jobs. And God's got a sense of humour, hasn't he? He said, right, we're going to have both interviews on the same day. Sitchwell, we'll sort something out for you, Dave. But the thing was, and I did get one of those jobs, I'll cut that bit out. But the difference that I hadn't worked out was, because I was just getting on with life, but I knew that we would be okay. Which was a bit of a gamble, in human terms, because we had two little ones. And Wendy, I can't remember whether she was working at that stage. I'm not sure they were at school. No, they wouldn't be. They were too young. So she was at home. Nobody else is earning. I'm it. So actually losing your job, you've all had those sort of experiences. Not a cool time to lose your job. But I had that inner sense that God was on the case. Okay? The story ends, he did. He sorted it out. But what I wasn't aware of, because I had that inner hope, I affected the people in the school. I didn't realise that. The guy who was head of RE, he was on the senior management team, he says, he came and had a quiet word about a couple of weeks before I left. He says, you don't know how you've affected that management team. I'm going, why? What have I done? You've made me redundant. Yes, but you've reacted. The way you've held yourself, the way you've dealt with the situation, it's affected them. Is that me? No. It's God's promise and presence over us. Was I doing anything clever? No. Was I worried? Yes. Did God sort it? Yes. It's that we've got to remember. God gave me that sense of peace in that situation. And he wants to do that all the time. All the time. When we pray about everything, we're setting into action a whole team. Father God, His Son Jesus, and Holy Spirit, get on the case. That seems like quite a good team to get going. Because they handle things in a totally different way to us. Do we pray about everything? Well, sometimes it's easier to pray about the big things, because they actually don't affect us. We have to pray about them, and the small things that actually are going to make huge differences to us. And the more we pray about the small things, we realize that God is going to change us, change the things as we go along. We had this picture this morning as we were praying about God honing the sand and the rocks with the sea, rubbing the corners off. Anybody had your corners rubbed off? I've certainly had a few corners rubbed off me. But that's because I'm allowing God to work on us, work on me. As we put those prayer things into place, those small things, we begin to see and look for the answers. That's important. Look for the answers. Look for the answers. Because God's interested in the total, the whole lot. Last slide. This is from Acts. The fellowship of the believers is the title for this little paragraph. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. The fellowship of the believers, that's us. That's what we've come to do, haven't we, today? We've come to fellowship, worship, we've come to be a part of what God's doing. They devoted themselves to the teaching and to fellowship, to breaking bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. We keep having God stories, don't we? Why? So that we can be amazed at the things that God is doing. Because he's doing stuff all the time. We need to learn to listen and to watch. Because he's doing stuff all the time. We need to be a community that are a praying community. We've got a prayer meeting tonight. Alan's taking our prayer meeting tonight. From 7 to 8. A praying community. Is it okay for to say what we're doing? One of the things he says we're going to do, or the folks, I don't know if I'll be able to get back in time, is they're actually going to walk round the building. Pray for the building. Why? Because this needs to be a place of God's presence. Is it already? Yes. Do we need to take that for granted? No. So, we're going to go round, or Alan's going to go round, and people are going to pray around the building. They're going to pray about things that are, as a fellowship, as a church, are coming up. We need to be a praying community. We need to learn to pray for ourselves. We need to learn to pray for ourselves. We're pretty good at praying for each other, but we need to be bolder. We need to actually go, well, I thought I should have said, or I thought. And even when you have that thought, it's okay to come back. I learnt that quite a long time ago. Because sometimes I used to, in the past, I go, I missed that one and not do anything about it. I try and remember, still do it. God's timing is different to our timing. We think we've blown it. We probably have. But actually God's okay. We'll give it a go. Because God is sovereign on all. We also then, because we have God's presence on us, we can pray for those people and situations that we are in all the time. Wherever that is. Whatever situation it is. Kathy was saying to Bob that she was praying last night. She had this heart for Africa. We pray for other areas, for other situations. If you're ever concerned about what to pray and you've got nothing, which I'd be kind of slightly surprised at, switch on the TV, that'll keep you going for hours. There are things happening, and God gives us hearts for different things. Are we all going to pray exactly the same thing? No. Thank God. Because God puts a heart on us for different things, for different people, different situations. And we need to respond to those. I just want us to pray now, okay? And then we're going to finish. Let's just pray. Lord, help us to realize what you are teaching us. Lord, help us to allow Holy Spirit to reign in us and teach us. To understand the cost that Jesus paid for us to be close to you. Jesus' death on the cross, so that we can pray and live freely. Help us, Father God, to learn to pray in all circumstances. Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for what you're teaching us. We thank you for where you're taking us and what you're encouraging us in. Lord, just help us to be a praying people in all circumstances, in all situations. And Lord, help us to pray for ourselves, to be a blessing and encouragement, so that we might be your light, your ambassador, your person that changes situations. We ask that in your name, Jesus. Amen. If you're ever struggling about whether you think God's interested in you, just think about the circumstances of what Jesus went through. And if that doesn't terrify you, read it in the Bible. And he did that because he wanted to change you and he wanted to change me. And it's a bit graphic, but actually sometimes we need to remind ourselves that's how interested God is in us. That's how interested he is in us. And all we do, wherever we are, whatever situation it is, we are his ambassadors, we are his light, we are his presence. Amen.